This meeting is now being recorded.
And Brenda, if we could do a roll call, please.
I apologize. I was on mute. Thank you very much, Alan. This is Brenda speaking for the record. Good day and welcome everyone to the RDS Who Is To Review Team plenary call number 16 on January 19th, 1330 UTC. In attendance today, we have Volker, Susan, Dimitri, Alan, Chris, and Lily. In the observer room, we have Svetlana. From ICANN.org, we have Jean-Baptiste, Steve, Lisa, Alice, Amy, myself, Brenda, and we have apologies from Catherine and Lisa. And today's call is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to state your name before speaking for the transcript. I'll turn the meeting over to you, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And are there any changes to statements of interest? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, we will assume there are not. And I'd like to welcome you to this call. Welcome Volker back into the onto the group, and we will go immediately to our first item of terms of reference. The status is at this point they have been submitted to the board caucus group, and we're awaiting input. And we will get some level of input right now from Chris.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chris. Okay, so I want to talk to you, just as me talking to you. There's a little bit of concern in the caucus group, and a little bit of concern, I suspect, at the board generally, that we don't want to say stuff that's going to be problematic. The experience of trying to deal with the SSR2 review is we're not grown ups and we can't, you know, move on from stuff. But I think there are some challenges around how we approach this. So what I decided to do was to have this conversation with you guys and talk through a couple of things and see if we can provide you with some useful feedback rather than feedback that might be challenging or might cause issues. And our current thinking, in simple terms, is that it makes sense from our point of view, from the board's point of view, to have this review team. I'm going to use words that I wouldn't necessarily use in a document, but if you have an issue with the words, we can talk about it. But split the work so that work is defined as that which is done now, and some examples of that would include the stuff on compliance, which Susan is leading a team on. I think it's Susan anyway. And work that needs to be done a little later in the cycle, and that where later in the cycle is in essence a time after the interim GDPR steps have been taken, and that may be something like July. And the sort of work that we think this review team, from its terms of reference, should be undertaking at that stage would be things like consumer data safeguards, registrant data safeguards, rather, because clearly until we know what the GDPR interim measures are going to be, we don't know what those will be. Easy access, again, paraphrasing, easy access for law enforcement is, again, something that is going to possibly fundamentally change post the deadline of May. There have been some concerns expressed that might lead to things slowing down. I think the board feels that there's nothing wrong with the review team issuing, and again, I'm just going to give an example, doing the work on the compliance side of things and issuing a chapter of its report on that for public comment earlier, rather than issuing everything together. I think the board would be supportive of that sort of approach. And I think finally, the board, or certainly the caucus group, acknowledges that whilst you could argue that there's a whole raft of stuff that you might want to wait until the end of the PDP before reviewing, those of us intimately involved, are of the mind that it's entirely possible that results from the PDP could be some significant time away, and therefore to try and push those off might be challenging. But certainly in respect to GDPR, we think I think we'd be prepared to provide feedback to say, we think you should split up the work and try and, do it in those sorts of stages. I hope I've made myself clear, but I'm happy to answer any questions. And the purpose of me having this discussion with you is so that I can then go away and come back with feedback, if necessary, to the review team.
Thank you, Chris. I have a couple of comments. Does anyone else want to go first? Then I will. I think we had tentatively decided last week to do something comparable to what you are talking about, in that our discussion basically said we can't ignore things like GDPR and focus purely on the state of who is as it was when we first convened in the middle of this year, middle of 2017, or roughly in the middle. It would be a waste of our time to comment purely on the world as it was then with regard to things that are going to be changed because of ICANN's decision or no choice but to start looking at or considering the impacts of GDPR. So it was quite clear there was no point in evaluating something that we know is going to change in 2 months. Your reference to perhaps waiting till July, I find a little bit curious, because if we are serious, we are going to try to put in place some rules. Now, they may not be fully implemented, but they should be pretty well described well before May. And certainly I would think it's problematic if they're not. So although I'm completely supportive of what you're saying, and I think we already had decided that, although maybe not as a formal decision, I'm a little bit worried that if we can't even start considering those things until July, this process is going to go a lot farther, take a lot longer than I certainly hoped for. So I guess I'd like any thoughts on that. Hopefully a model will be selected in the next month and a half, 2 months, and we will understand by no later than beginning of May, I would think, what it is we're going to be doing and start making some decisions on how we believe it impacts the things we're looking at. I certainly do not plan, or did not plan, in my mind, to wait for the PDP to finish, and we've always said all along we are simply going to ignore the work of the PDP to the extent that it is ongoing. That's simply the reality we're living in. And we have Chris. Go ahead.
So, Alan, I'm misunderstanding, but what is in practice going to happen is that a model of to deal with the who is interface with GDPR is going to be decided upon, and that model will be decided upon with community input, feedback, and so on and so forth. And that model will obviously be an interim model, in the sense that some aspects of who is may fall within the picket fence and therefore can be contractually mandated, and other aspects of it may in fact be policy, and therefore in the sort of the bigger picture will need to be handled with some form of policy development, and that interface, and that may of course be affected and may all simply be subsumed into the PDP. So we are going to be doing that. I don't think what I had in my mind was that the review team would need to see the in practice results of putting that model in place in order for it to do a review. Otherwise, all it's doing is a review of what's been chosen. And that's not this review team's job, and B, it's not particularly helpful. What's helpful, it seems to me, is a straight off the bat, we've now done this for 6 weeks or 2 months, this review team is charged up and knows about who is, and is now coming in and saying, from the point of view of law enforcement's access and the point of view of safeguarding consumer data and registrar data, and I was only using those as examples, but they're obvious ones. These are the results of what the model has done, rather than we can see this may happen. And that was why I said July.
All right. I guess I was imagining that whatever it is we're going to implement, we can judge, you know, if as an example, we hide all registrant data, and that the plan is we are going to hide all registrant data, then I think we don't have to wait to see it happen if that is indeed what we're going to do. I'd like to think we're not going to put in place a plan which is so ridiculous that a week into it we decide we're going to scrap it. So I guess I didn't see a big difference between what we decide on to do and what we're, you know, 6 weeks later. I don't think we're going to get enough feedback. That's my take anyway. Chris, your hand is still
up. Yeah, so, yes, it is. I don't want to – I mean, I'm happy for us to continue to discuss this as long as everyone else is happy. Stephanie's put a question in the chat, which I'll answer in a second. I guess that's right, Alan, and I guess it depends on the model that gets chosen. But if you look at, for example, law enforcement, I would have thought that this review team's input and recommendations would be far more valuable if the physical happening of the new who is under GDPR had occurred, and we were able to actually talk to law enforcement about what's actually happening. I'm not fussed one way or the other personally. I'm just trying to find a way of making sure the work is done at the right time. And I'm wondering if, I mean, is there a particular reason why you, I would have thought actual on the ground input would be quite valuable. But I'm not, I mean, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's your call. To answer Stephanie's question, I can only mandate registrars and registries to comply with the policy if that policy is deemed to be inside the picket fence. The issue, oftentimes, there is currently no overarching who is policy. There are bits of policy that impinge on who is, but there is no overarching who is policy, and that is at least in part why we are having the issues that we're having with GDPR. Most who is governed contractually, and right now, and therefore is dealt with by contract, and that can't be mandated to the registries and registrars unless it comes, you know, it falls within that mandate. So that's the challenge. It means that the GDPR decisions are currently being made as contractual decisions rather than policy decisions, and we're unable to go to the data protection agencies and say to them, here is our who is policy and here's why we collect the data. So that's the response to that. I'll shut up now.
Susan?
So I can see the relevance of waiting to review the GDPR 6 weeks or 2 months out. I can't imagine we'd have the time to wait much longer than that. But I think, you know, unless WHOIS changes very little, there's going to be an immediate impact. Also, I think there's going to be, you know, we may see a different implementation than we expected from some registrars. So interpretation of the rules may provide some glaring examples we could use. Maybe not. Maybe it'll go very smoothly and everybody will play nicely and
yeah,
well.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be positive. So, but we're already seeing some registrars make some changes that are disturbing based on what they think ICANN's going to do and based on their interpretation of the law. So, but I also don't think it stops us from, you know, once the model comes out, start thinking about it and in a way reviewing it and starting our thought process and our review, figuring out the review questions based on the new policy that comes out prior to implementation. So I don't see it as an either or. I see it as we couldn't do a full review of it until it, you know, had been implemented. And then, but we could start our work once ICANN tells us what's going to happen. So, you know, I think we could balance this is what I'm getting at.
Thank you, Susan. Stephanie?
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Thank you, Chris, for that explanation. I'm still kind of scratching my head. Inside the picket fence is an unusual term to use in terms of policy, and I always interpreted it as reinforcing what I would regard as an artificial construct, that ICANN has not set policy by defining the model contracts or the contracts with the registrars and registries. Because there's plenty of policy in there, only it's in an implementation instrument, because obviously if you have a policy, you implement it through your contracts where you define the terms of how your contracted parties are going to manage. So I'm not here to quibble at great length about how ICANN uses the term inside the picket fence, except is the fence around ICANN policymaking sphere, or is it around the contract that the contracted parties regard as entirely their business between ICANN and themselves? That's the part I'm confused about. Where is this fence?
Thank you, Stephanie. I've got one comment, and let me try to answer that using a different set of words. The term inside the picket fence has always, as far as I understand, referred to the parts of contracts that can be changed by consensus policy.
Correct.
And who is within the picket fence. There's no question that who is not one of the issues that is eligible for policy change by a PDP after appropriate approvals at all the right levels. So there's no question in my mind that certainly most aspects and perhaps all aspects of who is are within the picket fence. But that caveat says that can be changed by policy, which implies a PDP, and clearly any implementation that ICANN does of GDPR right now is not by policy, is not by a GNSO PDP. Therefore, although the subject is within the picket fence, ICANN cannot mandate that the contract be changed by it, except to the extent that the ICANN board deems this to be a significant issue that must be addressed, at which point by contract, not by bylaws, the board has the right to enact policy on an interim basis for a three-month term, renewable three times for a total of a year, and in parallel with that, make sure that the GNSO is working on policy and presumably with a target of completing it within that window. So that's my understanding of what can and cannot be done at this point. Now, to what extent we are going to be changing the policy or simply telling compliance not to enforce it. I mean, for instance, the third model effectively disables the UDRP, the third model proposed, because no WHOIS information is published and is only accessible by warrant, and clearly the UDRP providers are not going to be able to get the information they need to take any action. So, you know, to what extent we're going to ignore policy consciously is a different issue from to what extent we're going to change policy. And that, of course, there's a whole bunch of unknowns that are sitting there. How do we pretend we have policy that is already in effect when we're now saying it cannot be used? So we're in an interesting quandary. The issue I put my hand up is back on the timing. We're looking at a moving target. Whatever we decide to implement, it is conceivable that on June 1st, some eager beaver privacy officer in some country will take action against a registrar or a registry that is not, in their mind, complying. And we may have to react to that. So
correct.
This is potentially going to be a changing, moving target. And I'm not sure any of us signed up for something that says we're going to have to monitor things day by day. And as the world changes around us, we're going to have to change our report and our position. And we explicitly said at the very beginning, we are not looking at things that are a moving target. Now, I think we've decided de facto, and Chris says the caucus group is supporting that we cannot ignore completely GDPR. On the other hand, you know, we're not here for the next 4 years as every policy commissioner takes a ruling and the world changes slightly. So I think we're going to have an interesting problem, but we need to have some level of cutoff. Chris, you're next.
Thanks, Alan. I mean, I'm going to sort of back out of this conversation shortly, but I just sort of to finish off from the group's point of view. I think we're conscious of resources. I mean your resources, the review team's resources. We're conscious of people trying to get, you know, large lumps of work done over a short period of time. We're conscious of the need to spread the load in the review team, and also conscious. And in fact, I wanted to make specific mention of the fact that the caucus group and the board itself isn't necessarily aware of this, but will be, is also extraordinarily appreciative of the way that the review team is so far dealing with budgetary aspects and taking a very straightforward and sensible view about the costs. And it struck me that when I was thinking this through that, you know, that's perhaps another reason for spreading the workload out a bit, in the sense that, and I don't want to step onto people's toes here, but the work that we're doing has been relatively slow and then there are a smallish number of people taking most of the strain. And it struck me that it might be actually quite helpful to spread the load a little bit, and whilst you wouldn't do it as a reason on its own, it's a sort of subsidiary reason to the fact that reviewing what happens from the GDPR would be most helpful. But at the end of the day, it's up to the review team what it decides to do. And I'm not going to. What I don't want to do is to set up an adversarial situation where the caucus group, or rather the board eventually, because the caucus group's feedback is only going to be, you know, unofficial and personal effectively between us, where the board ends up providing feedback that is taken as, you know, not being useful. So I'm happy to help in any way that I can. I'm happy to see if we can come to some sort of understanding of the best way forward. And we'll support the review team in every way that we need to.
Thank you, Chris. I have Susan next, but I think we need a level set. Based on the discussion we had last week and based on all the comments so far, I'm hearing nothing which says we will not effectively defer part of our work that we know is going to be affected by GDPR until we see where, at least see where we're going.
Okay.
So the division and the two steps, I don't think there is any pushback whatsoever. The only question is, how long do we have to wait before the world is semi-stable before we do that work? And that I do hear some differences on.
And it may be that no decision, and it may, sorry, Alan, just if I may, just to quickly respond, and it may be that no decision is necessary in respect to that at this stage. In other words, it might be worth seeing what the model is before you make that decision.
Okay. In your mind, do we need to change the words in the terms of reference to reflect this? I think we should probably do a minor change, but that's all.
Yeah.
In any case, Susan, you're next.
Actually, it looks like Stephanie's next, but
Stephanie's hand was up from before.
Oh, okay. So it's early in the morning, so you at the beginning of this, you stated that we should divide up some of the work. GDPR is obvious, and I don't know if it's possible to put up all the subgroups. Work or the categories that each subgroup is managing, but are there, and you mentioned, I can't speak this morning, but you mentioned something that should be put off farther beyond GDPR. Are there other categories that the Board Caucus Group suggested we push off a little farther?
Alan, is it okay if I respond?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Thanks. Susan, give me a second. I can get my computer to work. Here we go. I was really just giving some examples, but if you look at the sort of stuff which obviously can be done immediately, the things that spring to mind there are the effectiveness and transparency of enforcement of existing policy through contractual compliance, and the extent to which ICANN.org has implemented the prior directory service review. Those two things are clearly, standalone, if you will, and things that might want to be pushed off in the sense of left until a little later. Safeguards of registrant data and the legitimate needs of law enforcement were the two that I mentioned. I haven't considered any of the others in any detail.
Okay, that helps.
Go ahead, Susan.
I just want to make one other comment. And your comment about, this review team and the amount of people we have to do the work. I'm hoping you, as a board member, will keep that in mind and encourage the SOs and ACs for the next review team to, at least select a minimum of 15, because we're already seeing the impact of only selecting, only having 10 members. So
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, someone should talk to the other. GSO is ready to give 7 every time. So we would like to see that same eagerness to participate and staff the review teams. That's the GSO position.
It's Alan taking off my chair of this group and putting on my ALAC chair hat. If you look historically, we have always had a range of number of people that are proposed. The current rules, say you can have up to 7, but rarely has any group proposed that many, with the exception of the GNSO. So it's not clear that, we're looking for a larger number altogether. And I think we do have to, in general subjects, and this one is a different one, look to make sure we have some balance so that one AC or SO is not, essentially ruling the overall thing. Now, here we have, this is basically a GNSO issue, and it would be quite reasonable to have more. I'm more concerned with trying to make sure that the people who volunteer actually work than simply adding more people to the pile with the knowledge that some percentage of them will not be delivering. But that's an issue that requires more discussion, and I don't think is our focus right now. Chris, your hand is up. Is that a new one?
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, and I also noticed that it is a new hand, but Brenda's hand has been up for some time as well.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Brenda.
Thank you, Chris and Alan. Just a bit of admin. We have two phone numbers that have joined the call that I'd like to identify for attendance. So if your number ends in 5219 or ends in 9458, please identify your name for the attendance.
Sorry, Trang, which
Thank
number
you.
Is yours?
9458.
Thank you, Trang.
And
5219 is Thomas Walden.
Thank you, Thomas. Very good. Thank you.
So, Alan, I just wanted to address the point about the it's Chris again. I just wanted to address the point that the extraordinary valid point that Susan made about people. I don't know whether it's of any assistance or not, but I wonder whether the CCNSO presumably still has the option to appoint people. Would you like me to push against that door and see if I can get them to either say yes or we're not going to, in which case we can then fill the gaps with some others?
Well, at this point, we did have a small discussion on the leadership call, and I think it is time to, tell them to either name someone quickly or not. And we were waiting to get some level of feedback. I think with this feedback, I can now send a message to Katrina. But to have someone join after we're already starting the substantive work, and get them up to speed, I think has less and less value as we're going forward. Now,
I agree, but it depends on who they are, of course, as to whether they have enough knowledge to be able to do that.
I understand.
Anyway, if you need me to help in any way,
let me go on to the other part. The concept of adding more people at this point, our process doesn't really provide for that. We are clearly likely to do that in SSR2 as a undocumented and, completely on the fly process of adding some people. But it's not clear how we're going to do that, and it's not clear even if we're doing that from the original pool or from a new pool we are creating on the fly. So I'm not sure we have a process right now to add people along the way. And if this review team as a whole believes that's something that we actually absolutely crucially has to be done, then we can certainly request it. But I wouldn't presume it's something that's magically going to happen at this point. Chris, last words to you before
I'm done. On. I'm done. If I can help in any way with CC, let me know. Other than that, thank you.
Okay, then I will take it on as a task, and you can staff can record an action item that I, in conjunction with the leadership team, will see if we can make some minor change to the terms of reference to reflect what we've been discussing. Any further comments on terms of reference? And another action item for me is to contact Katrina. Susan, please go ahead.
So if we take Chris's advice, the board caucus's advice, then we might want to immediately, at least look at Safeguard subgroup and the LE subgroup and reallocate or re-envision what those two subgroups are doing and, reallocate the people temporarily.
I think we want to look at them one by one. It's quite interesting that if you look at the different things, to the extent that the current who is addresses law enforcement issues, we have to do that. GDPR, the implementation of GDPR is only going to make that worse because we are talking about hiding data that will not be readily accessible. Consumer safeguards goes in the exact opposite, or registrant safeguard, data, safeguarding registrant data goes in the exact the opposite direction. And again, we don't know how much it's going to help in this case instead of hurt, but we know it will. So there may well be some work we can do initially, but you're right. To a large extent, we are not going to certainly finalize things until we have a better feel for which model we're going for. And I don't know at this point. Chris, if Chris is still on the call, do you have any idea when we are expecting a decision on the final model? And to be clear, my understanding right now, although it wasn't originally, is we are not likely to pick one of the three models or two or one of the flavors of the second model, but we are likely to come up with a composite pick and choose new model that is somehow a merger of all the ideas, so the optimal merger. At least that's what I understand today. So any idea when that's likely to happen, within the announcement made of this is the model?
No, not really. I mean, as you've said a couple of times, everything is we're in the middle of several movable feasts right now. Communications may arrive from all sorts of areas, such as from the DPAs themselves. There's a rumor flying around that they're actually intending to respond to the models being put out, although that's only a rumor, and whether it's true or not, I have no idea. So I don't know the answer to that question. The only thing any of us can say for sure is that we all know what the deadline is. In the sense of that whatever the date is in May that the rules come in. But I can't give you any, I'll happily go and see if I can find out if there's a plan. Well, sorry, I know there's a plan. I mean, what the date is in the plan. In respect to your other comment, just to be clear, yes, my understanding is entirely that it's not intended that Model 1 sits alone and Model 2, and to give a very specific example, Model 3, is in fact what EURID does in respect to .eu, but only in respect to entries in the WHOIS that have no indication whatsoever of some sort of corporate involvement. So if you put in any data into WHOIS in .eu, that indicates that you're a company or a company, an organization, or provide some sort of number for a company or organization, then the full raft of data is published. But if you don't do that, it's deemed to be personal, and they use Model 3. So it's just an example of taking bits from different models. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Any further discussion on terms of reference? Then we will go on. And the next agenda item is work plan. Staff has been doing a significant amount of work adjusting the work plan, factoring in to a large extent, the slippage that we have done on not delivering the initial passes in the time frame we originally planned, and also factoring in the fact that we decided not to meet in San Juan. And I guess I will turn it over to, I presume, Alice to look at the work plan and give us some idea of what has changed. As you'll see in the chart, there is a very significant number of changes, and what I've done is asked Alice to try to walk us through it, not line by line, but just say, you know, what has driven the various changes, and the changes, as perhaps is obvious, are the ones highlighted in yellow. Alice?
Yes, thank you, Alan. So as Alan just indicated, we've made a number of changes to the work plan to reflect the current status, and we've highlighted the edits so it's easier for you all to navigate through them. But in the plan review section, we've reorganized tasks to increase the clarity around the sequence of events And we've also given some extra time for the adoption of the template for findings and recommendations, as well as the structure of the subgroup report, since the subgroups are still in the process of defining their work statement. We've also pushed the release of terms of reference and work plan for board consideration to February 2nd. And as you'll see, we've also adjusted the outreach plan adoption date. So if we scroll down to the subgroup section, you will notice that January 22nd is now your new date for delivery and approval of your subgroup planning document. It really is important for you to define the resources you need as well as the plan of action that you will take, so you all know in which direction you're headed. So once the subgroups have laid the groundwork, the next step will be for them to roll up their sleeves, if you will, and execute the plan of action they've defined. So interviews, reading, investigation, et cetera, should be conducted with the objective of putting together some findings by February 22nd. So that's one of the key dates as well. So once you have your findings in place, we will move to the next phase, which is for subgroups to draft their recommendations. Subgroups will be expected to produce a report that comprises both approved findings and recommendations by March 22nd. And we'll be asked to approve their subgroup draft report by April 5th. So there's a reason for this. As you know, we've determined on last week's call that mid-April would be the most convenient time frame to advance on work of work at the review team level. So this decision was plugged into the work plan, and dates associated with subgroup work were mapped out accordingly. So we're just an update, separate update. We're working on finding a venue and, you know, defining dates for this mid-April event. So we'll get back to you on this as soon as possible. Jumping back to the work plan, subgroup reports will need to be sent to the full review team in preparation for that face-to-face meeting. And at the face-to-face meeting, rapporteurs and their subgroup members will be asked to present the content, their report, and we'll have a full review team discussions of the recommendations and findings. Then the rapporteurs and team members will take the highlights from the meeting, the takeaways, and we'll incorporate them. Incorporate edits to the findings or recommendations as they deem appropriate based on the review team discussion. May 24th is the deadline we've established as the final date for the subgroups to finalize the subgroup reports. So then we may move on to a phase in the life cycle of the review where subgroups are reassembled into the plenary to put together a review team draft report, which will essentially encapsulate the subgroup's findings and recommendations, all of them. So staff will get you a suggested draft template in the early April timeframe that will help you visualize how the report should be structured, and we hope this will help you, shape your work. So the first important step on the roadmap to the draft report will be to approve draft findings and recommendations. Your deadline to do so per this work plan is June 28th. This coincides with the ICANN62 meeting in Panama, and ICANN62 will also be an opportunity for you to conduct your outreach, provide an overview of your findings, collect feedback, etc. And once you have your approved draft recommendations and findings, the work plan allows for months for you to produce a draft report. So this will be, technically, this would be fairly simple since you have the structure in place and you also have your subgroup reports, findings, and recommendations. It'll be a matter of merging everything into one draft. We will then send the ICANN staff will then send the designated sections to language services for translation, so you're ready for your public comment period. So the report will go out for a 40-day public comment period, and we've established October 5th as the estimated end date for the public comment period. Then all you need to do, that's easier said than done, is go through the input you've received, consolidate the report with the objective of issuing a final report for board consideration no later than December 21st. So these are the highlights of the work plan as we have it now, and I'll turn it over to Alan for discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, Alice. I will, of course, as the first comment say, all of this was before we had the last discussion, And it's quite clear that we are now talking about significant parts of the report which may not fit into this model at all. We're talking about finalizing things in June, and as we heard, we may be in a situation that we don't even start discussing some of the things till July. We are going to have an interesting discussion sometime in the future about just how long was the commitment people made to this group, and do we have a drop-dead date of we have to complete because people will start disappearing or are highly inclined to want to disappear, if nothing else. So all of this, again, is tentative based on what we have now, or not tentative, but is likely to change again because of what we have now talked about. With that, I'll open it up to anyone else who has any comments. Everyone is happy with it or stunned or doesn't think it's worth talking about right now, given that we've just changed some of the major substance. I guess all of the above. All right, then I thank Alice for the work, and to the extent that this now applies to the parts that we can start working on immediately, then I think it's important for people to look at it and say, is it realistic? Clearly, the final report is going to be delayed from what we're talking about here, and some of the milestones along the way for the ones that we are not starting to work on right away will also be similarly delayed. But we'll wait for further discussion on that. Okay. What is the next agenda item? We have subgroup status and next steps. We have people on this call who have not been on it in recent weeks, or certainly in when we had the previous discussions, to review their items. And I think the first one is Volker, you are responsible for, there were two of them, I think. I don't have the thing in front of me. The first is privacy proxy services, and the second one is the common interface. Do you have anything you can tell us at this point about either where you are or where you're predicting we will be on those subtopics?
Quite honest on this stage, I mean, we just defined the roles quite near to my leaving for my parental leave. Now this is my first week after coming back, so nothing has happened yet. I have to now start working on that.
Okay. And then we don't have anything further on that. And Thomas, the last I heard, you had sent a preliminary draft of the first pass to Catherine, but I don't know, believe, and Catherine isn't on this call. If you can tell us at what stage you're in, and are you in a position to provide that draft to the rest of the group so we can look at it?
Yes. I'm at the stage now. She was fine with everything. Didn't really leave anything to add. I can go ahead and I was having some issues with where I was with adding that to the wiki page so people could take a look at it. So I can take care of that today so the rest of the group can take a look at what I came up with, and I will take care of that today.
Okay, thank you. I don't think any of us are adding it to the wiki page ourselves, at least many of them aren't. But if you just send it to the subgroup mailing list, then staff will take care of posting it.
I will do that this morning, sir, or
okay.
Evening for you.
No, morning for me too.
Okay. All right. Good to hear.
Any comments? Good. Any other questions or comments on this? Jean-Baptiste, are there any items I have forgotten that we were supposed to be reviewing today other than the ones we already have, or the ones assigned to Stephanie, to Volker and Thomas.
Hi, Alan. I didn't see from the, I'm sorry, I was not, I was out this week, but looking at the different updates that were received, I saw that there was an update version for compliance. But other than that, I didn't see any other updates.
All right. By the way, on compliance, you have merged the compliance set new topic with the Rec 4. I believe we need to keep these as separate topics because they're going to be addressed differently. I think we just decided that the same team would be used for two. I think from in terms of record keeping of where we are on these, we really should keep them separate as two different topics, even though the subgroup is the same. Stephanie, Susan, does that make sense? I really think we're going to do them as different tasks, even though we've decided it makes sense to use the same people.
So I thought the decision was to merge, the teams, so that we have all the same people looking at both sort of topics or parts of compliance. So it made sense to me when I saw the compilation of it. And, because what we can do is we can work on the Rec 4 for compliance and then move on to the, overall compliance review. So
yeah,
I don't see it as a problem.
Okay. I just thought the timeline is going to be different and being able to track whether the review of the who is one is done and what stage is that is going to be could be tracked differently than the other one. I don't feel very strongly about it, but if you're happy with what's presented on the screen right now, then we'll stay with that.
Yeah, unless the other team members, have some issues with it, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Then I would track my statement. And Stephanie, can you give us an idea of what's going on or what will be going on with the anything new? Staff has put together a long laundry list of things that have changed, and I would have thought that the first part of this process is to make recommendations on what we in fact are going to address and what we are not going to address. There is no requirement that we look at everything new. It's a matter of picking and choosing where we think we want to focus our efforts. So I think that's one of the discussions we're going to have in this group as a plenary, and where are you in predicting in terms of having the first pass done?
Hi, well, profuse apologies for having dropped the ball on my particular working group. I won't give you all the excuses, but they have been manifold. So I'm going to have to catch up very quickly and figure out, because the last time I tuned in on this whole question of whether we're looking at GDPR, the opinion was that we weren't going to, that it was out of scope. And obviously things have changed, and we're going to be looking at GDPR. So I will focus on that this week, get a meeting of our little subgroup going, and discuss the laundry list. But I have done nothing on it so far. Sorry.
All right. I would guess to the extent that we can do that sooner rather than later, because potentially that could add some very significant work items to our list. And I'm just a little worried that if we don't know that soon, then doing any work planning is going to be really hard.
Well, I must say this is a sea change in whether or not we consider that within scope. So I'm going to have to wrap my head around it and figure out exactly what the priorities might be. And I still haven't listened to every single recording. I've had major computer meltdowns here and a line speed problem that is making life extraordinarily difficult to work with Adobe again. So
that's what happens when you live in a developing country.
I live 45 minutes from the nation's capital. Don't get me started. I'm good for hours on this. You know? My up speed is still hovering around 0.2 megabytes per second, you know. So don't even get me started. So, yes, I really apologize. I'm going to spend quality time on the weekend trying to get this fixed, even if it involves driving into town and borrowing a son's excellent connection.
Thank you. Anything else anyone wants to raise or discuss with regard to subgroups?
Alan, this is Fran. Can I chime in on this?
Yes, you certainly may.
Thank you. You know, it strikes me that some of the items that are on that inventory list are due for review. For example, the transfer policy as well as the who is accuracy for specification of the 2013 Hacker AA.
We seem to have a significant echo somewhere.
We seem to have a significant echo.
Stephanie, that's your line. If we can mute Stephanie's line.
Hello?
Let's try again, trying.
Thank you. Yes, Anna, I was just saying that it strikes me that some of the items are on the inventory list, such as the who is accuracy specification of the 2013 RAA and the transfer policy are up for review. And I don't know if we noted that for you on the inventory list. So what we can do is take an action item to take another look at that inventory list and flag for you those items that are going to be reviewed via other mechanisms, but will be looked at so that it can inform your discussions as to whether or not for this review team to take on any additional work on those items.
Thank you, Trang. To the extent you could get that done today, since Stephanie said she's going to start looking at the list this weekend, that would be useful.
Absolutely.
Any further comments on any of the overall discussion of subgroups? Then we'll go on to the next item. And that is the request for written implementation briefings. And I had a bit of a problem when I was putting this together in that my original notes had disappeared, and I was doing it from memory. Most of it is what was already discussed and circulated to this group a long time ago. The last bullet on the list of things a report should include was originally to the extent practical, or a staff assessment of whether the time was well spent. And the suggestion was made, I think, by Trang. I originally thought it was Lisa, but I was told it was probably Trang, that is not something staff would feel comfortable doing, but they could provide an assessment of how much staff time resources went into it, so we could, if we choose, try to make an assessment of whether this was a good idea or not, given the outcomes and the work involved. I'm just a little bit concerned that sounds like a daunting job to go back and reconstruct work done over the last 4 years or something like that. And I guess I'd like to ask Trang, is this something that is really going to be easy to do, and will it provide a measure that will be useful to us? Now, I'm not quite sure if you are planning to report this in staff hours, person years, or, you know, what kind of measure were we even talking about?
Hi, Alan. This is Trang. To answer that specific question, I was envisioning, you know, we could, at a very high level, roughly estimate the number of FTEs and the duration of the time that it took to implement the recommendation. And again, it will be very high level. To get any more details than that, is going to be near impossible. So it would be sort of a very high level rough estimate of how many FTEs supported the effort for how long.
So we're really talking about a few managers getting together and talking for an hour to come up with these numbers, or 2 hours, not a huge task to try to put together. Does that sound roughly right?
That's correct.
Okay. Then are you comfortable with the wording we have right now?
Well, I'm comfortable with the estimation of the resources. I think the wording also mentions cost. And I don't know what's envisioned there, but if we are looking for exact professional services costs, you know, if there were any sort of surveys performed or, I don't know, any experts engaged to do any kind of studies or anything like that, if we're talking about those types of things for activities that, you know, went back 4 or 5 years ago, I'll have to check with finance to see. I don't know how the cost might have been captured and how we would even be able to get that number at this point in time.
Okay.
That would be a challenge.
Yeah, it does say to the degree practical, and certainly the marching orders that I am imagining are, if you can do it in, you know, come up with these estimates in a few hours, fine. If you're going to charge someone for the next 2 weeks to develop it, it's not worth it. So if you feel comfortable with that interpretation of the word to the degree practical, then we can leave the wording as is. And it says staff time / resources, so it can be presented in whatever form makes sense for the particular task.
Sounds good.
Okay. What kind of, I'm offering the courtesy of what kind of time frame is indeed reasonable. If it's going to take 4 months to come up with these written briefings, then their value decreases significantly. It's something that we can do, within a matter of weeks, and less than a month, then their value goes up rather quickly. So what do you feel comfortable with us asking for?
So, Alan, is the review team looking for written briefings on every single areas that we presented in the past, or are you looking for written briefings only for those items where the subgroups specified that they could benefit from such written briefing? I mean, I'm only asking because in reading some of the subgroup documents, it seems like some of the subgroups do not require any additional briefings on the topic to begin their work, but rather they have certain other questions and things that they're looking for. So I'm just wondering from a resources perspective, whether or not we prioritize the work that way, to provide written briefings for those subgroups that require it and then focus the rest of our attention on providing the additional information that they're looking for.
Yeah, in my mind, there's not a big difference between those. You know, for instance, the single who is policy, we know what you have done is identify the various bits and pieces of policies and pointed to them in a single place. So describing that, I don't think is going to take, an awful lot of work. And those are the ones where it's well documented already what the outcomes were that I think are the ones that are not asking for any written things. So my inclination would tend to be all of them. That is all 16 recommendations. But I don't think in some of the cases it's going to be a rather onerous task. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, let me, if it's okay with you, Alan, let me take that back and then provide an estimate for how quickly we can complete this. Maybe by Monday. And I'm only saying this because it won't be just my team doing the written briefing. Some of these, the compliance stuff, I'll have to check in with compliance to see how quickly they can they can do their pieces, and some of the briefings will have to come from other teams. So let me, if you're okay, give me a little bit of time, and I'll come back to the subgroup maybe or the review team on Monday with an estimate.
That is fine. And if there are any outliers that a particular one is, you know, is going to be the more difficult one to do, then please identify those. And I don't think it's, I don't think we're demanding that everything be delivered on the same day, if indeed, for time constraints. And I think we're pretty, well aware that we may be talking about the same people who are working on GDPR in some of these cases, and we understand what the priorities are.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. So once we get an estimate of a date, I will formally forward this. But I think you can take this as given that it will be it will be received, and to the extent that you can start working on this and getting the job under in process, then so be it. Next item on the agenda is the planning for the meeting on Monday. Now, I will not be on the call. There's a small chance I might be, but chances are I will not be able to make the call. I'm traveling, and Susan has offered graciously to lead the call. The question is there a call? At this point, we have another 20 minutes left in this call. Are we going to have substantive work ready for the plenary to do? Are there subgroups that can meet within this hour and a half time? You know, perhaps two different subgroups, I'm sure we can arrange for two different phone numbers if we want to do it in parallel, that are in a position to do significant work, or do we just cancel the call? I'll remind you, on the Friday call, we ran out of time and had several agenda items which we could not get to. That will not be the case today. Erica said keep the 22nd for subgroups, but if we don't give staff information on which subgroups and timing to set up parallel calls, if we need two of them, then it's not going to happen. Susan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just sent out an email yesterday to the new compliance group with everyone in it, and so I guess it's really, well, anyway, we're using the recommendation for Wiki and everything, but so I would be prepared to talk on Monday about compliance. I think we have a lot of planning to do and some things. Some opportunities that are coming up with, I'll be in the ICANN offices not next week, but the week after for a GNSO and a intersessional thing. And I think Chris is going to be there too. So we'd have a couple of us that we could actually talk to compliance and try to get started on how we're reviewing compliance. So I was wondering if others on the team, on the compliance team would have time to talk during this time slot or during the time slot scheduled for the regular plenary. I did put that into my email too, so.
Yeah,
I'm
certainly involved in that, and I could, I think I'll be able to be available to participate, but not run the call. So, I think I could probably participate if we decide to do it next Monday.
Okay, that'd be good.
Not easily, I will point out, but not as difficult as you in terms of time zones.
That's fine.
I'll have an hour better than you. I'll be. My only concern is whether there'll be a place in the hotel I'm in where I can, you know, do this quietly. And I'm hoping I'll find some place where I can do that.
Anyone else? I'm trying to think of all the stuff.
Who else is in this group? We had Erica.
Thomas.
Erica. And
one more.
And Chris, who may or may not be on the call, and Carlton. Carlton isn't on this call, so we should make an attempt to get hold of him and find out whether he's going to be on that call. I would hold it regardless, but
This is Thomas.
Yep.
It looks like Monday I may not be available. I have back-to-back meetings, one at my headquarters and one at a place 20 miles a little bit away from there. So I'm in one from 9 to 10 and then another one from 10:30 till like 1 or so. So I may not be available Monday to call in for anything.
All right. Susan, I'll leave it up to you whether you decide to hold it or not. If so, just let me know, please.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who is interested in holding a call at this point?
Erica says she can join a call.
Yeah. But I presume we were talking about the compliance. All right.
Oh,
then let us assume there will be a compliance call on Monday, starting at the same time the plenary would have started. And there is not anything else, and we are canceling the plenary, so if staff can take action on that. Is there any other business? Does staff have any report? I guess, I'm not sure, it's Alice or Jean-Baptiste, on any progress on investigating options for a meeting in April?
Hi, Alan. This is Alice. We're still working on it, and we hope to have a response to you sometime next week.
Okay. Thank you. All right, then, if there is no any other business, no other hands, then I will give you back 15 minutes of your life, and the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.